Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. The Church Must Be Quickened. 1897. This manuscript is published in entirety in PH 007, 21-27. Awake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians 5, verse 14. This is a time when every member of the church should be waiting and watching and working. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we should be alive unto God, and every man, woman, and child who has a knowledge of the truth should be able to discern these signs of these times. The weakness and inefficiency of the church must pass away. Creative power from above must impart life to the human agents whom God would use, that they may be able to cooperate with divine intelligences. The church, to whom God has imparted his endowment of heavenly truth, must not remain dead in trespasses and sins. As Christ's witnesses, our commission is clear. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. We are to be waiting, watching, working. It is most inconsistent for the church, to whom has been opened the treasuries of truth, to be dull, worldly, and indifferent. Casting away all unbelief, we should by faith put every capability and every power into exercise. There is a great work to do, and the Spirit of the living God must enter into the living messenger, that the truth may go with power. The people of God must be aroused from their moral deadness. They must be quickened with power from above. The Lord has promised, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as for an only son. Zechariah 12, verse 10. The Lord God of heaven would have the entire church devising ways and means whereby high and low, rich and poor, may hear the message of truth. The Lord Jesus, the mighty Savior, has died for these souls. He can arouse them from their indifference. He can awaken their sympathies. He can soften their hearts. He can reveal to their souls the beauty and power of the truth. The master worker is God, and not finite man. And yet he calls upon men to be the agents through whom he can impart light to those in darkness. God has jewels in all the churches, and it is not for us to make sweeping denunciations of the professed religious world, but in humility and love, to present to all the truth as it is in Jesus. Let men see piety and devotion. Let them behold Christ-likeness of character, and they will be drawn to the truth. He who loves God supremely and his neighbor as himself will be a light in the world. Those who have a knowledge of the truth are to communicate the same. They are to lift up Jesus, the world's Redeemer. They are to hold forth the word of life. We are in no wise to be deterred from fulfilling our commission by the listlessness, the dullness, the lack of spiritual perception in those upon whom the word of God is brought to bear. We are to preach the word of life to those whom we may judge to be as hopeless subjects as though they were in their graves. Though they may seem to be unwilling to hear or to receive the light of truth, without questioning or wavering, we are to do our part. God's people are to watch and give the trumpet a certain sound. We are pressing on to the final conflict, and this is no time to compromise. It is no time to hide your colors. When the battle rages sore, let no one turn traitor. It is no time to lay down or conceal our weapons and give Satan the advantage in the warfare. But unless you watch and keep your garments unspotted from the world, you will not stand true to your captain. It is no time for watchmen to slumber on the walls of Zion. Let them be wide awake. Call to your fellow watchmen, crying, "The morning cometh, and also the night." Isaiah 21, verse 12. It is no time now to relax our efforts, to become tame and spiritless. No time to hide our light under a bushel, to speak smooth things, to prophesy deceit. Every power is to be employed for God. You are to maintain your allegiance, bearing testimony for God and for truth. Do not be turned aside by any suggestion the world may make. We cannot afford to compromise. There is a living issue before us, of vital importance to the remnant people of God to the very close of this earth's history, for eternal interests are involved. On the very eve of the crisis, it is no time to be found with an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. The original apostasy began in disbelief and denial of the truth. But if we would triumph, we must fix the eye of faith steadfastly upon Jesus, the captain of our salvation. We are to follow the example of Christ, and in all that Jesus did on earth, he had an eye single to the glory of God. He says, "As the Father gave me commandment, even so do I." John 14, verse 31. Divinity and humanity were united in Christ, that he might reveal to us God's purpose and bring man into close union with himself. This union will enable us to overcome the enemy, for through faith in Christ we shall have divine power. Our numbers are increasing, our facilities are enlarging, and all this calls for union among the workers, for entire consecration and thorough devotion to the cause of God. There is no place in the work of God for half-hearted workers, for those who are neither hot nor cold. Watchmen on the walls of Zion are to be vigilant, and sleep not day or night. But if they have not received the message from the lips of Christ, their trumpets will give an uncertain sound. Brethren, God calls upon you, both ministers and laymen, to listen to his voice, as speaking to you through his word. Let his truth be received into the heart, that you may be spiritualized by his living, sanctifying power. Then let the distinct message for this time be sent from watchman to watchman on the walls of Zion. Why are the churches so indolent? As agents for Jesus Christ, men are to be laborers together with God. Why then are so many acting as did Miraz, doing nothing, while those sitting in darkness receive no light, no help, from those who claim to be the children of God? How much do such idlers resemble the angel who is represented as flying in the midst of heaven, proclaiming the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? Christ is saying to these idlers in the marketplace, "Go work today in my vineyard." Matthew 21, verse 28. Angels who minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation are saying to every true saint, "There is work for you to do. Go, stand, and speak to the people the words of this life." Acts 5, verse 20. If those addressed would obey this injunction, the Lord would prepare the way before them, putting them in possession of means whereby they could go. Why are the churches so indolent? Why have they no burden for the souls for whom Christ died? And how does heaven regard their inefficiency? The angels are constantly earnest and active, seeking to bring every child of God to work in the vineyard of the Lord. Oh, how they rejoiced when they saw that through the work of Christ the world was brought back into favor and position with God, and again connected with heaven, to be benefited with all the treasures of light and knowledge emanating therefrom. And they sorrow when they see that those for whom so much has been done have no interest to win souls for Christ. Christ's church on earth is to be an agent for him. Its members are to be devoted to the work to which God has appointed them, taking their places according to God's order, and doing the work he has assigned them. The tidings of every successful effort on their part to dispel the darkness and to diffuse the light and knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, are borne upward. The act is presented before all the heavenly intelligences, and thrills through all the principalities and powers, enlisting the sympathy of all heavenly beings. The Lord Jesus expects more of you than you give. Yes, a great deal more. He has called and chosen you. Every man, according to his several ability, has been given his work. You are to occupy a place as a laborer together with God. And as his agent, you are to gather other agencies and unite them with those already in the work. that the instrumentalities for winning souls to look to Christ may be as many as possible. Angels of God are soliciting you to work in fellowship with them, doing the will of God on earth as verily and unitedly and devotedly as they do the work appointed them in heaven and earth. These angels are surveying the ground occupied by the individual members of this church. They see the advantage gained by Satan when men and women neglect their God-appointed work. They see this work neglected or done in a bungling manner by those who claim to be Christians, and they sorrow over souls that are lost in consequence of this neglect. They cannot take your place or discharge your duty. Could they do this, they would do it gladly, for they know that your eternal welfare depends upon the use you make of your entrusted talents, your intellect, your reason. They cannot do your work, but they stand ready to cooperate with human agencies as they work to draw souls to Jesus Christ, striving to recover them through the infinite gift made for their redemption. It is the duty of everyone who claims to believe on Jesus Christ to become a worker for God. You are demanded in the work which must be done to bring the grand results. I inquire, how can anyone be silent when they know what the Lord Jesus expects from every human being? I implore you that name the name of Christ to no longer be selfishly and wickedly indifferent to your duty. Live unto Christ who died for you and rose again. Each angel has his own mission and is at his post, ready to cooperate with you, and by combining divine power with human effort, make of none effect the opposition of foes. They will make a place for you to walk, even among principalities and powers, beating back spiritual wickedness in high places.